morning, our brother asked us a question when he first got up here. He said, "Who are you?" I would like to read a scripture that I think sheds a little light upon that, and it's found on page 40 and 41 in the Book of Mormon. Beginning with verse 227, "Nevertheless, I beheld the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small, because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory."
Precious memories. Christ without realizing that they're very precious to the soul. As you have come here this evening to hear the words of truth divided, I would ask you to give our brother your prayerful and careful attention as he speaks to you this evening. For I feel that he has a message to bring that's important to us. And if you're praying for him, it won't fall on deaf ears. So I ask for our brother your prayerful and your careful attention as he brings the word to us this evening, Brother Jamie.
I felt this evening during song service a very warm spirit, a very peaceful spirit. I was moved by the singing of the national anthem. I was moved by the songs that came after it. I was moved by this song that we sang at the opening of this service. There's a veil that hangs before me, and an unknown pathway hides. There's an eye that's watching o'er me, an almighty hand that guides. So I need not fear the morrow. Peace is in my heart today. My blessed Savior tells me he'll be with me all the way. I suppose that that sums up to a certain extent the position of the Church of Christ today, a veil that hangs over our eyes. Today, our brother spoke of several things. I tried to write them down. The things that I'm going to read tonight were not brought to you this evening because of Sunday school class this morning or because of the sermon that my brother preached, but I found elements in that sermon this morning that ran parallel with some of my thoughts this evening. Our brother told us this morning that we were unique individuals, which we are indeed, but yet we were the same in some respects as far as the way the Lord looks upon us. He told us that today is the day we live in of the fulfillment of all the prophecy that we read in the Scriptures. And he asked us who we are, and he asked us, why are you here today? And what is it that has caused that you should be here this day? Why has the Lord called you out of the world? Brothers and sisters, there are many movements upon the face of the earth today that are gaining rapid momentum and power. Movements that are common to ideologies that are enemies to one another. There are things transpiring in this world of an awesome nature. When I preached last, I preached about the Antichrist and how possibly we might be able to avoid some of the snares of Antichrist things in general. This evening, I want to talk I wish to speak this evening about the other side of the coin and what God has planned and what shall be. This morning our brother spoke about righteousness. I read a scripture at the very beginning, the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness. These unseen and seen powers and forces and movements that are in the world shall come face to face someday with the power and the might of God Almighty, as the culmination of all things is at hand. And I will, if you don't mind my saying so, talk of the destiny that belongs to those who are righteous. And it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all the nations and kindreds of the earth. You know, if in these next few years that we witness a greater outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the little church of Christ, if the individuals who stand up before you are given a greater liberty of speech, it is not because of their righteousness necessarily, even though the Lord would not use individuals who do not strive for righteousness, but it is because of God's plan for you and for me and for all those who will yield and follow Him, as our brother spoke of this morning. I would like to go to page 74 in the Book of Mormon. Most of my scriptures this evening will be from the Book of Mormon. And read in the 7th chapter of 1 Nephi, beginning with the 17th verse. Excuse me, that will be on 73. And after our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed. Wherefore it is likened unto their brethren, unto their being nourished by the Gentiles, and being carried in their arms and upon their shoulders. And it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles, and not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And I would, my brethren, that you should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. The things that I have read here just now is a prophecy, and it is a prophecy that has to do with you and who you are. Could it be, is there a possibility that this minuscule body of people will have something to do with the unfolding of history in the near future? Can it be that this little body of people could have the responsibility of carrying not only the gospel, but carrying the spiritual welfare of the house of Israel upon his shoulders? This chapter talks of the things that are pertaining to the temporal affairs, the establishment of the house of Israel again in their own lands and the spiritual affairs. Could it be that you will have some part in that plan? I listened today as my brother talked about the unique individuals that we are. He is so right. Each one of us is unique. But I want to dwell upon that sameness. In the world today, there are movements and have been for the past, I don't know how many years, but it's been most definitely defined and understandable since the 1960s. Perhaps maybe having people focus upon their own uniqueness. I know our brother was indeed not talking about that, but he was talking about the common things that we have, our common need for righteousness and to serve God. We live in, and I'll quote somebody else who was quoting somebody else, we live in the me generation. And I heard that from one of our sisters. It's very, very true. We live in a time when all the world can think about is their own selves. And that is going to be, in my belief, I am persuaded, going to be a keynote of the forces in these last days, the Antichrist forces of the me generation, thinking about oneself and one's own needs. And it has caused us, I don't. You and I have been affected by this me philosophy to a great extent. We think sometimes about our own spiritual needs and welfare. We think about, if you pardon the expression, sometimes finding ourselves. You remember that coming out back in the 60s. I'm just trying to find myself, who I really am. And brothers and sisters, I wonder how many thousands of lives have been ruined because they were searching for themselves. That kind of philosophy has brought the ruination, I am sure, of hundreds of thousands of people searching for themselves, who I really am. And yet, the strange thing is, I suppose there's a little bit of truth mingled in with that kind of thinking. But the opposite picture, there is a purpose for why we are here. It is a higher calling, a higher calling than your salvation. It is the purpose of God's plan in the last days of Zion, the opposition to the Antichrist forces in this world. And everything that goes along with it. And one might think Zion is all things common. Another might think it is the place, a place. And it is part of it, but it is the small part of it. Zion, these last days, is God's residence upon the earth and His plan for us and for the world. I want to read on page 185 in the Book of Mormon some more, I believe, of why you and I are here. A higher calling than self. You know, this self philosophy causes people to be restless, unsatisfied, and you know why? Because they found themselves. They have found themselves restless and alone. The Church of Christ will teach in these last days that men are sinners by nature and that they must repent and change from themselves. and not find themselves, but change from their own selfish wants and needs and desires. And in that do they find rest and peace to their soul. On page 185, verse number 123, this is a prophecy. And because that I have preserved the natural branches and the roots thereof, that is talking about the natural branches of the olive tree or the house of Israel, and that I have grafted in the natural branches again into their mother tree, and have preserved the roots of their mother tree, that perhaps the trees of my vineyard may bring forth again good fruit. That is Zion. That is Zion, brothers and sisters. And that I may joy, and that I may have joy again in the fruit of my vineyard. And perhaps that I may rejoice exceedingly that I have preserved the roots and the branches of the first fruit. Wherefore, go to and call servants, that we may labor diligently with our mites in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, which natural fruit is good and the most precious above all other fruit. And I wish that God would grant me power, that I might be able to convey to the hearts of men and women and to my brothers and sisters the importance of what we have just read. Brothers and sisters, that is why we're here. It is not to find ourselves, but for the God's purposes in us. You know, this little bitty tiny church, I am persuaded with all the energy of my heart, has preserved the gospel, lo, these many years, for a purpose. And with the movements that are taking place in the world, vast changes are transpiring within huge organizations. Vast changes are transpiring within Catholicism, within governments, within ideologies, world trade, all kinds of things. Vast changes are taking place. There must be an opposition. And I believe it has begun. I believe with all my heart that there are vast changes taking place within this room, within the lives and the minds and the hearts of individuals. And it is why you are here. Wherefore, let us go to and labor with our mites this last time. For behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is for the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. Nations of the earth have had a great deal to do with the physical preservation of the house of Israel. And the Church of Christ has not contributed to that physical preservation, nor could it. And that's not our job. Our job and our duty and our purpose is for their spiritual restoration. And as we read, that by that purpose of the house of Israel's spiritual preparation, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we shall carry the house of Israel, and are at this day,
And though the work is minuscule to a great degree, you and I, to a great extent, are carrying that work, assisting the house of Israel. And I pray that myself and that each one of you will be able to see this destiny that is to those who will choose, this destiny that is to those who will be righteous, strive for righteousness, and those who will put self on the side. I hope that in my personal life I can change the way that I am. And yet, I want to stress something, because I can't do it. I can't do it, and you can't do it, for one main reason, and that is that it is the Lord's work. And He will indeed accomplish His purposes. And there will be no doubt in anyone's mind when that day comes, when the fulfillment and the culmination of everything transpires, there will be no doubt that it was the Lord who has accomplished it. Now, by saying that, I don't mean to tell you not to try. Only to try with a different purpose in mind. Perhaps we grow anxious because we don't know what to do. Our brother gave us some things to do this morning to be righteous. That is our armor plate, to be righteous. And there are vast changes that are transpiring in the world, and in Christian groups are becoming laxed, so laxed that they allow nearly everything to transpire. And so we must weigh heavily the responsibility of the saints and our own personal righteousness and the righteousness of the body of Christ. We must weigh it heavily. I would like to continue on page 186, beginning with verse 136. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. The servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, Go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mites with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which shall soon come. Now, we just previously read on this page that the Lord wanted to have joy in His vineyard. And God promises that those who will labor for His purposes will have joy. I wonder, when our brethren came out of Jerusalem 600 years before Christ, and when they headed down into the wilderness and spent a great length of time in afflictions, in trial, and when they headed across the ocean, which in that day and time was absolutely forbidden, it was absurd. To think that a small group of people like that could head across such a vast gulf. and his men set across the ocean. And then again when they reached the promised land. You know, the book, The Light and the Glory, records that. It says that they just looked at the land that they had come to in a kind of silent awe. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began to be the natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. But prior to that time, the natural branches were not grafted in. And so, brothers and sisters, who was it that was reaching out to claim those natural branches and to graft them in again? It wasn't this grafting in. I am persuaded is a spiritual kind of grafting into the kingdom of God. It certainly, brothers and sisters, I wonder who that was, who those few servants will be. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away. And they did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. Thus they labored with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had been cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto himself that the trees had become again the natural fruit. And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal. And the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. And it came to pass that when the Lord of the vineyard saw that his fruit was good, and that his vineyard was no more corrupt, he called up his servants and said unto them, Behold, for this last time have we nourished my vineyard, and thou beholdest that I have done according to my will. Now I want that statement to burn within your minds. I have stated several times that God is going to do as he pleases, that he will bring about these things in such a way that you and I will know that it is him who is doing it. Are we prepared to be instruments in God's hands? Are we endeavoring to fulfill the covenant that God has made with the house of Israel? Our brother, several of our brothers, a couple of our brothers anyway, I'll say, go down once a year to Yucatan. Yucatan, is it Yucatan? And I believe that that is, in a small way, carrying the house of Israel upon our backs. The scriptures state to me that by small means will the Lord bring about great purposes. But I wonder, are we prepared in these last days? Our brother talked about we have hang-ups and problems and discouragement, but we're not to go our own way, do our own thing, and our own purposes. And he asked us, well, what do we do? And of course his answer, one of them was righteousness. What if, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just saying, are you prepared for it? What if we have been preaching and prophesying, if you will, and predicting from the pulpit and in our homes and our conversations that there is a tremendous destruction, economic physical coming our way? What if the Lord, and what if the powers that be, the Antichrist powers that be, cause that for a season that is not to be? If for a season there is prosperity. You know, I wonder, I would think, brothers and sisters, that if tomorrow there was great financial problems and stress, that you would find, we would find ourselves on each other's doorsteps. I mean, really, the kind of things that sometimes you hear about. If that was really to happen, that we would grow so close together because of absolute necessity for spiritual and physical survival. I believe that day will come too. And I believe that's what Zion is. What if that is postponed temporarily and for a short season of time, a few years maybe, there is prosperity? I wonder sometimes in my own mind if that wouldn't be more devastating than some of the problems. If that would not cause people to become decayed, saying, "My Lord delayeth his coming." I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's something we need to be prepared for. Any type of situation that might possibly cause spiritual decay. You know, I thought about myself today when my brother was talking, and I thought about myself last Thursday night. I was working with a young man, a Chicano young man with three children, lives over in Mesa. We were working under a big truck there, standing in the pit, working on the third member of a great big truck. And this young man told me that he was in the process of having some $8,000 of work done to his home. That didn't bother me. But one of the thing that bothered me, and it really bothered me, and I had to face that problem when he told me, and it was a problem to me. He said this was being done free. $8,000 of work being done free to his home because he lived within a certain area. You know the stories that go on, you know, that Hubert's told you about a man that was up there on the dam fishing every day except for one day a week, and that day he went down to pick up his unemployment check. And he talked to the man, and he found out that that man was making more than he was, and Hubert was working double time. He was working 7 days, he was working 7 days a week. Time and a half and double time, and I don't know what kind of time. And Hubert has a good job. And this man was making more with his social benefits. And you know, when I heard that man tell me that, about that man, I found myself having to swallow anger. Resentment. As I endeavored to repent there to myself silently, how many of you have had a similar experience, or how many of you have had an experience with a brother or a neighbor? Righteousness. And they shall be armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. But ours is not to judge, but to learn some way of being an instrument in God's hands by being righteous. Ours is not to feed the world, because we're dirt poor when it comes to feeding the world. We just can't do it. Now, there are organizations and powers in this world that could do it. I'm firmly convinced if they put their selves in God's hands and truly desired to serve, that they could feed the 2 billion people on the earth. I don't know what it is, some incredible number of people that are on the earth, that the Lord would do it. But that's not our mission. That's not why you're here. I wonder if when the pilgrims got down in that little ship in the Mayflower, and they were in the bottom of that ship with no light and the stench. 3 months, was it? 3 months? Anyone remember? I think it was 3 months. Or was it a month and a half? I can't remember. It was a great length of time to be stuck in one place, shoulder to shoulder, with no way to bathe or... I wonder if they dreamed that the influence that they would have upon the world, not only America, but the world, if they possibly could even fathom such a thing. Here. I want to go to 1 Nephi in the 5th chapter. And read you something here. And then ask you a question after I finish. I'm going to begin with on page 49, beginning with verse 21. After we had traveled for the space of many days, we did pitch our tents for the space of a time, that we might again rest ourselves and obtain food for our families. And it came to pass that as I, Nephi, went forth to slay food, behold, I did break my bow, which was made of fine steel. And after I did break my bow, behold, my brethren were angry with me, and because of the loss of my bow, for we did obtain no food. And it came to pass that we did return without food to our families, and being much fatigued because of our journeying, they did suffer much for the want of food. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael did begin to murmur exceedingly because of their sufferings and afflictions in the wilderness. And also my father began to murmur against the Lord his God, yea, and they were all exceeding sorrowful, even that they did murmur against the Lord. Now it came to pass that I, Nephi, having been afflicted with my brethren because of the loss of my bow, and their bows having lost their spring, it began to be exceeding difficult, yea, insomuch that we could obtain no food. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did speak much unto my brethren because they had hardened their hearts again, even unto complaining against the Lord their God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make out of wood a bow, and out of a straight stick an arrow. Therefore I did arm myself with a bow and an arrow and with a sling and with stones. And I said unto my father, whither shall I go to obtain food? And it came to pass that he did inquire of the Lord, for they had humbled themselves because of my word. For I did say many things unto them in the energy of my soul. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, and he was truly chastened because of his murmuring against the Lord, insomuch that he was brought down into the depths of sorrow. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord said unto him, look upon the ball, and behold the things which are written. And it came to pass that when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceedingly, and also my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and our wives. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball, that they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them. And there was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time, according to the faith and diligence which we gave unto it. And thus we see that by small means the Lord can bring about great things. Now my question is, what is the small means? I looked at that and I wondered, what is the small means by which the Lord brought about great things? I suppose, you know, there's several things there. But there's one thing that stuck in my mind. I don't know what it was. Nephi broke his bow. And that in turn brought about these things. To them, it was a catastrophe. At that particular situation, a catastrophe. And even Lehi murmured. And I wonder, that was just one of the beginning things that they went through before God gave them the promised land. Now, you know, the scriptures record that John the Baptist was baptizing beyond Jordan at Bethabara, I believe is.
Bethabara?
Or is it I think it's Bethabara. Bethabara. You know, I was curious one day and I looked that up. I found a lot of interesting things. It seemed significant to me. John was baptizing at Bethabara, beyond Jordan. So I looked it up, and all that I could find about that was that it was an ancient fording place across the Jordan River. An ancient place where you could ford the river. And according to the historian, it was ancient, old, long before the birth of Christ. I also noticed a very important thing. That this Bethabara was reported to be in a certain locality approximately. And that it is also the approximate location where the house of Israel crossed the Jordan River after 40 years in the wilderness. The place where they camped on one side and the place where they camped on the other side, Bethabara, is roughly identically in the middle, or almost exactly in the middle. And I wondered. I don't have any proof of such a thing, whether that is where they actually crossed the river. The house of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. And then the Lord said, go. And John the Baptist was baptizing there. And it was the beginning of something. And I just hope, brothers and sisters, that we shall endure and shall continue to strive for righteousness until the Lord says go, and we can cross that river. And by that river, I don't mean the term that is used so much today, the river being the river of death, but a different kind of river, across the river into the promised land. And to us, we have a promised land, but the little church of Christ, that is in itself is really not the goal of the little church of Christ, but to carry upon their shoulders the spiritual well-being of the house of Israel. And they in turn shall build Zion. just as a backup scripture in Alma, the 17th chapter, the 35th verse. Page 438. And now you may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise, and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. What's he talking about? You know, if you look back here a few times, he's talking about ancient records that were handed down, of which we have a part right here, by small means, that the Lord bring about miraculous and marvelous things. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, is it just possible that this little Church of Christ that is undergoing changes shall someday indeed receive that charge of go? You know, in the world today, I am sure that we are on a computer. I am sure of that. Not just a computer, all kinds of computers. That the Church of Christ is on computers. And I am sure that when they look at the Church of Christ and look at the size and the financial capability, which is no capability at all, and the number of people, I am sure that they, if they are looking for things that will stand in the way, say, of the Antichrist, that I wonder if the Church of Christ is even considered. I wonder if they are even considered. And maybe that's a blessing that we are at this particular moment in the condition that we are in. In one way. There are other ways that we need many blessings. I want to read. I don't want to stop. I hope that you will endure with me a little longer. I want to read in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah some promises that God has given to us. Beginning with the first verse, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. The sixth verse, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yea, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The 10th verse, go through. You know, today when you look at the world, and the gates are closing. I read in the paper the other day that there are 300,000, I believe it is. Of course, I may have my facts mixed up. 300,000 Jews that have applied to get out of Russia, and they are letting them go at the rate of 100 a month at the present time, and they are placing them in hospitals. They are marked as undesirables, and I wonder if this is not in reference to some of the things that are going to transpire in these last days. Go through the gates. And there are gates today, brothers and sisters, all kinds of gates, spiritual gates that withhold and hold God's people back and withhold the gospel from going forth. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the peoples. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And I am persuaded that there shall be, when God is ready that there shall be nothing that will stand in the way of God's people. I would like to go back to the first book of Nephi in the 7th chapter on page 73 and read some promises that are written there. They are very important. Actually, it's on page 75. Beginning with 36th verse, wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it be so that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And I don't think anything really characterizes our world more than those three little things right there, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. You see it on the newspaper. You see it in all kinds of catastrophes that are happening, and as well as the world is prepared to demolish itself by fire and vapor of smoke. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they who fight against Zion shall be cut off. Verse 48, and the righteous need not fear, for they are those who shall not be confounded. Verse 55, and the time speedily cometh that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. That, of course, is the ushering in of the millennium. I guess that I'm through with this. I would like, however, there's another scripture that I'd like to read. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we're too far away from this day. I think this is approximately the time in prophecy that we are approaching. On page 663, these are the words of Christ. Beginning with the 93rd verse, and this is, Christ is telling our brethren back then that the people today, at the house of Israel today, as well as you and I, will have a sign that we will know when the Lord is about to fulfill all of his covenants with the house of Israel. And when these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto them that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people who are of the house of Israel. I believe that's where we're at, right there. And yet I believe that there is a much greater work that will transpire among our Lamanite and Indian brethren in North and South America and in Central America. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths. It shall come to pass, see, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. For in that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work, which shall be a great and marvelous work among them, and there shall be among them who will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand, therefore they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them. Yet I will heal him, for I will show unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, who am Jesus Christ, whom the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be done even as Moses said they shall be cut off from among my people who are of the covenant. And brothers and sisters, I was touched when we sang the national anthem today, because that is directly pertinent to this nation. And I am glad that this nation will always be, and this next time, by either repentance or by God's cleansing arm, will